From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory, where the Bible is the centerpiece of our program every single day, and for good reason. For one, we know that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to accomplish the will of God in our lives. But in order for that to happen, first we have to read the Bible. Today, I want to show you four ways to make God's Word a part of your everyday life. My message is titled, The ABCs of Spiritual Hygiene, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
God never intended for the Holy Spirit to be a mystery to believers. If you're a follower of Jesus, then God's Spirit is dwelling inside of you, and He's waiting to unleash His power in your life. In his best-selling book, I Want More, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches what it means to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Looking to satisfy your spiritual cravings? Request the book, I Want More, when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
You know, most of us talk a good game when it comes to the Bible. We all say, oh yes, the Bible is important for our spiritual growth. We are ready to argue with anybody who doubts the inerrancy, the inspiration of the Scripture. We're happy to fight about the Bible. But the deep, dark, dirty secret of Christianity is that very few Christians are actually reading the Bible. Charles Spurgeon, more than a century and a half ago, roared to his congregation, "Ah, you know more about your ledgers than you know about the Bible. You know more about your day books than what God has written. Many of you will read a novel from beginning to end, and what have you got? A mouthful of froth when you are finished. But you cannot read the Bible. That solid, lasting, substantial, and satisfying food goes uneaten, locked up in the cupboard of neglect." I believe it is that neglect of reading the Bible that explains why so few Christians are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. In our series on unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life, we've said that there are four channels, four conduits through which God pours His power into our life. And the first of those channels is the Word of God. Remember what we said? We said the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to unleash the power of God to transform us into the image of God. Now, I'm going to assume this morning that most of you here today realize you should be reading the Bible more than you are, okay? Can we all agree on that? We ought to be reading the Bible more than we are. My purpose today is not to load on a heap of guilt to your already buckling shoulders, okay? Instead, what I'd like to do today is give you some practical ways that you can make God's Word a part of your everyday life. I'm calling today's message, The ABCs of Spiritual Hygiene. If we're going to get clean spiritually and become like Christ, we all agree God's Word is essential. But how do we make God's Word a part of our everyday life? Now, take out your outline. I want you to write these ABCs down. First of all, let's start with A. To give God's Word the place in your life it deserves, first of all, the A stands for appreciate the uniqueness of the Bible. You will never make God's Word a part of your everyday life until you realize how unique and different this book is from any other book. God's Word is God's complete revelation of Himself so that we can know Him and have a relationship with Him. But even though you may believe that this Bible is the Word of God, to really be convinced that it's different from any other book, there are two things you have to come to grips with. First of all, you have to believe in, write it down, the trustworthiness of the Bible. To really appreciate this book, you have to believe that it's true, that it's trustworthy. How do we know that this book really is God's letter to us, that it's different from any other book? Let me just give you this morning two evidences for the trustworthiness of Scripture. First of all, the unity of theme in the Bible. The unity of theme. The Bible was composed by 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years in three different languages, and most of those 40 authors did not know one another. And yet, there is one theme that is found from Genesis to Revelation, and that theme is the redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. Now, how do you explain that? 40 different authors writing over 1,500 years in three different languages, authors who didn't know one another, and yet they all have the same theme. There is no way to explain the unity of theme in the Scripture when the Bible was written over centuries of time by dozens of different writers. There's no way you can explain it except God is the author of this book. The unity of theme that you find in the Bible. Secondly, a second evidence for the trustworthiness of Scripture is archaeology. Now, again, I wish I had time to talk about all of the archaeological evidence for the Scriptures. I think we need to be careful to realize archaeology cannot, in and of itself, prove the trustworthiness of the Bible. For archaeology to prove that the Bible is true means that you would have to find archaeological evidence for every single event in the Bible. That hasn't been done, and that will not be done. However, the important thing to note is this. Any archaeological discovery that has ever been made has only confirmed the trustworthiness of Scripture. There is not one single archaeological find that has in any way contradicted the truth of the Bible. Through archaeology, we have confirmed things like the wall that was built around Jericho. Or remember in 1993, a monument was discovered that had the inscription of King David being the king of Israel. In 1961, the stone was discovered, a tablet that listed Pontius Pilate as being the Roman prefect when Jesus Christ was crucified. Before 1961, there was no external evidence for the existence of Pontius Pilate. 1990, it was discovered the Caiaphas stone that listed Caiaphas as the high priest when Jesus lived and was crucified. Every single piece of archaeology has only confirmed the trustworthiness of the Bible. What I'm saying to you is you will never make this Bible central in your life until you're, first of all, convinced of the trustworthiness of Scripture, but secondly, you have to be convinced of the completeness of the Bible. The completeness of the Bible. In other words, how do I know for sure that this is God's complete and final word to me? There are a lot of Christians out there who view this book as a collection of old love letters. They think this book is filled with previous communication from God that is sweet and helpful, but it's old, it's irrelevant. And so instead, they're looking for fresh revelation from God. They want to hear a new word from God rather than what is written in this book. So the question is God giving new information, new revelation about himself? Well, let's let the Bible answer that question. Turn over to Jude, verse 3. Jude is the next to the last book of the Bible. If you're not careful, you can miss it real quickly because there's only one chapter in it. Look at Jude, verse 3. And let's settle this issue of new revelation about God once and for all. Jude writes, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." You ever hear people say, well, we shouldn't fight about doctrine. We shouldn't argue for the truth. We ought to be Casper Milquetoast, you know, when it comes to the truth of the Bible. No, Jude says we need to contend for, we need to fight for the faith, that body of doctrine, which was, notice this, once for all delivered, past tense, to the saints. Jude is saying everything, every truth you need to know about God has already been delivered to the saints and deposited in the Bible. There is no new truth or revelation or information about God that's being given. It has been once for all recorded and delivered to the saints. Peter said the same thing in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Look at this. Seeing that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. In other words, you have everything you need right now in order to live a godly life. You have everything you need to know everything about God you need to know. Now, the B stands for this. Be committed to reading the Bible. If God's Word is going to unleash God's power in your life, you have to be committed to reading the Bible. I came across a statistic this week I thought was fascinating. Did you know that 82% of Americans say they believe the Bible is the Word of God? 82% of Americans believe this book is the Word of God. And yet, of those 82% who believe the Bible is the Word of God, only half that number say they read the Bible at least once a month. And of the half that read the Bible once a month, half of those could not name one of the four Gospels or identify who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. No wonder we're not experiencing the power of God in our life. If we're going to experience God's power, we have to be committed to a regular intake of God's Word. And to do that, we need two things. First of all, we need discipline. If you're going to make God's Word a part of your everyday life, it requires discipline. I've heard a lot of definitions of discipline, but here's my favorite. Discipline is doing what you know you should do, even when you don't feel like doing it. Discipline is doing what you know you should do, even when you don't feel like doing it. Remember this, it is a lot easier to act yourself into a feeling than to feel yourself into an action. If you wait until you feel like it to start reading the Bible, you can go longer than you can ever imagine without ever opening the Bible. Instead, if you will act yourself into the feeling, if you'll just do it even when you don't feel like doing it, you'll find soon you realize how spiritually hungry you are. In order to make God's Word a part of our everyday life, we need discipline, but secondly, we need a plan. We need a plan to make the Bible a part of our everyday life. Now, there are all kinds of plans out there. Some people like to read through the Bible in a year. Other people like the method that I use, and that is, find a book of the New Testament, pick a book, and read it once a day, every day, for the entire month. By the way, did you know two-thirds of the books of the New Testament, two-thirds of the books of the New Testament can be read in 20 minutes or less? And if you know, if you read the same book of the Bible once a day for 30 days, by the end of that month, you'll know that book backwards and forwards. And when you get to a longer book like Matthew or Romans, just divide it into thirds. Read the first third one month, the second third the next month, the last third the last month. That's one way to make God's Word a part of your everyday life. But beyond whatever plan you choose, a plan for reading Scripture needs to have these two components to it. Write this down. First of all, there needs to be a specific time that you devote to reading the Bible, a specific time of the day. Now, some people like to read in the mornings. That doesn't work for me. When I get up in the morning, I'm ready to get going. I don't want to sit down and try to read the Bible because I find myself rushing through it so I can get on to do what I think is really important, you know. We all can delude ourselves into thinking certain things are important. So I find myself that the best time to read the Bible is at night before I go to bed. I want the last thing I think about to be God's Word. The key is, whatever time works for you, devote a particular time to reading the Scripture. We need a specific time. Secondly, a fresh translation. A fresh translation of Scripture. Have you ever heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt? Familiarity also breeds boredom. When you read the same thing over and over and over again, you can become bored with it. It can lose its punch. Many times if I'm reading a passage of Scripture from my regular Bible, I'll read that Scripture and then I'll look out and I'll read a note I made about it and I'll look maybe at a sermon that was delivered and I'll think about a pastor I liked or didn't like who delivered that message, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about instead of what God is trying to say to me. A pastor friend gave me this suggestion. He said, at the first of the year, buy yourself a new translation of the Bible for your devotional reading. When you want God to really speak to you, find a new translation. If you're used to the King James Bible, buy the New Living Translation of the Bible for your devotional reading for that year, or the New International Version, or some different translation. It's a way to make God's Word fresh in your life. Now, when I talk about commit yourself to reading the Bible every day, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, you know, Pastor, that's easy for you to say because you're paid to read the Bible. But if you had a real job like we do, you know, you wouldn't find that easy to find time to read the Bible. Now, I understand that sentiment. But Gordon Gilkey has a great illustration of why we all have time to do whatever we need to do. He said most people imagine their lives like this. They imagine themselves standing in a circle, and they imagine all of these problems and challenges and people are rushing at them at one time while they stand in the middle of a circle. But he said that's really not a good picture of what our lives are like. Instead, he said, imagine an hourglass on your desk. There's a bulb at the top with sand in it. There's a bulb at the bottom to collect the sand, and there's a thin tube connecting the two bulbs. And that sand comes through that thin tube one grain at a time. He said, your life is composed of moments. And those moments don't come to you all at once. They come one moment at a time. And you get to choose what to do with those moments. The Bible says, if we're going to make a wise use of our life, we need to invest those moments in the things that will last. You can choose to make the Bible a part of your everyday life. Be committed to reading the Bible. The C, number three, stands for concentrate on smaller sections of the Bible. Concentrate on smaller sections of the Bible. A lady approached her pastor one day and said, Preacher, I want you to know I have been through the Bible 50 times in my life. The preacher looked at her and said, Lady, the issue is not how many times have you been through the Bible, but how many times has the Bible been through you? See, that's why I have a problem with these read through the Bible in a year programs. I do it occasionally, but I mean, let's face it. Don't you find yourself a lot of times just trying to rush through it so you can say, I did my assignment for today? I tell people the Bible took 1,500 years to write. Why do we feel like we have to go through it in a year? I mean, isn't it better to concentrate on smaller sections of the Bible so that God's Word can truly speak to you? Years ago, Madame Guyon wrote, if you read the Bible quickly, it will benefit you little. You will be like a bee that merely skims the surface of a flower. Instead, in this new way of reading with prayer, you must become as the bee who penetrates into the depth of the flower. You plunge deeply within to remove its deepest nectar. And that leads to D. Determined to listen and follow God's commands. Determined to listen and follow God's commands. When Madame Guyon talks about extracting the nectar from the truth of God's Word, what is she talking about? That nectar is the timeless principles you find in Scripture that apply to your life. Remember, the purpose of reading the Bible is not information, it's transformation. It's to make you like Jesus Christ. And so when we read the Bible, we ought to always read it with a view toward application. How does this passage apply to my life? Now, some people try to short-circuit that process. They'll try to immediately look at a Bible verse and say, okay, what's that saying to me? What do I need to do? I read a story about a man who was trying to decide which branch of the service to enlist in, the Army, the Air Force, which branch he was going to enlist in, and so he thumbed through the Bible, and he came to Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. He said, aha, God wants me to enlist in the Navy. There it is right there in the Scripture. Well, obviously, that's not the purpose of Psalm 107, to tell us what branch of the service to enlist. When you pull back and read the complete psalm, it's talking about the goodness, the power of God. God's goodness is poured upon everybody in the world, including those who go down to the sea and do their business in the waters. That's the purpose of Psalm 107. If we're going to read the Bible correctly, when we finish reading a passage, we ought to ask ourselves, what does this passage, first of all, teach us about God or ourselves? What are the timeless truths? And then, after we discover that timeless truth about God, we ought to ask the next question, what am I going to do differently as a result of this truth that I've discovered? Let me illustrate that for you. We read just a few moments ago, Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The timeless truth in that passage is we are to love our wives with the same sacrificial love with which Christ loves us. Now, that's the truth. But if we stop short there, we haven't really allowed the Bible to do its transforming work. We ought to ask ourselves the question then after that, okay, given that truth, what am I going to do differently because of that truth? How am I going to love my wife in a selfless, sacrificial way? What am I going to do differently? Maybe it means that I offer to take the kids to school in the morning so my wife can sleep a little later. Or maybe I offer to take her out to dinner several times during the week so she doesn't have to prepare a meal. Maybe it means that I make the ultimate sacrifice. Spend Saturday at the mall with her instead of watching a game on television. See, that's really the purpose of Scripture. Not information, but transformation. What am I going to do differently because of the truth of God's Word? Author John Stott writes, I don't want you to miss this. If we come to the Scriptures with our minds made up, expecting to hear from it only an echo of our own thoughts, and never the thunderclap of God's thoughts, then indeed God will not speak to us, and we shall only be confirmed in our own prejudices. Now get this. We must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. Overthrowing our patterns of thought and behavior. That's the radical transformation God wants in your life. The Spirit of God using the Word of God to transform you into the image of God. That's the washing of the water with the Word. It doesn't do us any good to merely soak up information about the Scripture. We need to let the Spirit of God use the Word of God to bring transformation into our lives. Recently, Rachel wrote to us to share how the Bible teaching she hears on Pathway to Victory is making a very real difference in her own life. Rachel is a 20-year-old Christian woman living in Indonesia, home to the world's largest Muslim population. Every day, Rachel feels more and more hate, aggression, and terror from the radical zealots surrounding her. But recently, she started watching Pathway to Victory, and the messages are reminding her to be hopeful and remain faithful in these troubling times. Rachel wrote, "Thank you, Dr. Jeffress, and all who stand for truth. The world needs to hear Bible teaching more than ever before." Well, thank you, Rachel, for sharing your word of encouragement. And friends, if you're a financial supporter of Pathway to Victory, Rachel's expression of gratitude really belongs to you as well. You're the one who's making it possible to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only here in America, but in hundreds of countries around the world. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The Bible promises that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our lives will never be the same. And yet many Christians feel discouraged and defeated in their daily walk. Perhaps you feel the same.
If you're longing for something more in your relationship with God, you're not alone. At one time, I felt unsatisfied and powerless to change it. But by God's grace, I discovered how to deploy the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And today, I want to help you discover that as well. In my best-selling book, I Want More.
The book, I Want More, was written with you in mind. to help you build spiritual strength as you pursue a fresh way to unleash God's supernatural power in every area of your life. Request a copy of I Want More when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete CD and DVD teaching set for this month's series called Unleashed.
The same power of God that flung billions of galaxies into existence with a single word. The same power of God that lifted Jesus Christ out of the grave, that same power of God is in you right now.
Thank you so much for your support. Your generous giving will help us encourage viewers just like you as we continue to impact you and our nation with the truth of God's Word.
Is God's Word an integral part of your daily life? Or does your Bible sit neglected in a corner of your room, waiting for next Sunday to be picked up again? If you want to experience the Holy Spirit's power, you must start by reading God's Word and allowing the truth to transform your life. That's the first channel by which God pours the power of His Spirit into our lives. And next time, we'll begin looking at conduit number two, prayer. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress's best-selling book called I Want More. Plus, the Jesus Map is our gift to you simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete CD and DVD teaching set for the series Unleashed. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
I imagine every one of you here today could give a testimony about how God miraculously answered a prayer in your life. So why don't we pray more? I mean, if we believe intellectually, we know experientially that prayer is the conduit through which God's power is poured into our life, why don't we pray more?
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, The Power of Faith Kneeling, here on Pathway to Victory.